Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And coming up this week on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, last-minute easy food gifts, and the drink of the week. That's all coming up.
Bells will be ringing, the glad they do. Oh, what a Christmas. Can't have the blues. My baby's gone.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery with a large cheese assortment, and meat department where special orders are welcome. Delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921.
Please come on for Christmas. Please come on for Christmas.
And welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook, and I admit, sometimes I cook real flops. This weekend, last night, busy trying to get last-minute things done, church program, and decorating and making sure my lists are complete. I made a quick chili last night. Pretty simple and inexpensive. So I just started off with my heavy soup pot, and I had a little bit of chorizo left over from a quiche that I had made earlier in the day. So just actually, it was just a real small amount, but I thought I'd throw that into the chili just for a little bit of flavor. I didn't want to use very much meat in the chili. Just kind of wanted a nice vegetarian chili, but wanted to add a little bit of flavor with the leftover chorizo, plus it needed to be used. So I threw that in some olive oil, a little bit, and browned it up. Also added some shallots. And I diced up the rest of the red and yellow peppers that I had that I also used in a quiche, those little sweet ones. So I used the rest of those. Actually, I didn't dice them. I just sliced them up. And I don't even take the seeds out of those because we just eat those whole right out of the bag after they're rinsed or whatever at my house. So I just dice them up, throw the whole thing in, and got that going with a little bit of salt and pepper. And then to that, once they were nice and soft, I just added 3 cans of chili beans, a can of black beans, and 1 can of fire-roasted tomatoes. And then some garlic, some onion flakes, some chili powder, a little tajine, a little cumin, chuck the spices, and that was it. Just let it cook for a good 45 minutes, and it was a great chili with just a little bit of chorizo in it. So, you know, we could do a lot with that chili later on, too. We can turn it into other things, and we'll have it for dinner tonight, which is great. I won't have to cook tonight because I'm pretty busy tonight, too. Even though you love to cook, sometimes you don't have the time. And sometimes that happens. But having a quick chili recipe to go to is nice to have. Also yesterday, I made a couple of quiches. I love to make quiche. My quiche is always I like Swiss Lorraine creamy quiche, although you can't get Swiss Lorraine cheese ever in town. I just use the Swiss. And so I made 2 quiches. One had some chorizo and the sweet peppers, and then the other one had a little bit of bacon and a little smoked salmon and just a few little dabs of cream cheese in it too. I thought the kids would really like that one. And then a friend came over and brought a spinach quiche, which was great too. And I like to use 4 eggs in my quiche and 2 cups of cream. And you just whip that together to make your custard. And then I add a teaspoon of Boji's stone ground mustard, or you could use mustard powder. I also use some garlic powder and a pinch of cayenne to that, and a little bit of salt and pepper. Not to the one with the bacon and the smoked salmon. I don't usually add salt to that cream. And then, of course, then I add the Swiss cheese, and I'll get a larger package of Swiss cheese if I'm making 2 quiches, and I just shred it all, divide it among the two, toss the Swiss cheese with the other ingredients that you've cooked in the skillet, and I do like to cook the ingredients ahead of time. I like to saute them a little bit. I'm not one to put raw vegetables in a quiche. I like to cook it a little bit. And just toss all that together and then pour your custard, throw it into the oven on 350 until it's puffed up in the middle. And you just, when you're making a quiche, you know, the outsides always puff up first. And then it takes a while for the middle to finish. You do want to make sure the middle actually puffs up or it's just not done yet. Last time I made quiche, I pulled it out a little bit too quick. It's easy to fix because you can just throw it in the microwave if you want to, or back into the oven for a few minutes, but make sure the middle puffs up as well. And so quiche leftover too, that's always a good leftover. Delicious. And what else did I make? Oh, last night I got into, you know, I've never made much candy and chocolatey goodies at Christmas time. I just never really have. I'm usually more of a savory person when it comes to Christmas, but last night I just got into this chocolate thing, and I really wanted to make some of these chocolate-covered peanut butter crackers my aunt used to make for me. And then when I moved, she used to send them here to Alaska, and she doesn't anymore. She doesn't make near what she used to make. But I thought I'd make them, and Evelyn was really excited about it. So this is the kind with the Ritz crackers. Trading Union had some Ritz crackers on sale. I came home. I was really excited. I bought the Ritz crackers. Also, there was some dark chocolate on sale, and I had some at home because I do make chocolate drops every now and then. And I was so excited, and then I took the crackers out of the container, and they were herb everything, and I'm like, oh, that's not going to work. So thank goodness Rodney went down to the convenience store, Hammer and Recon convenience store, and picked up the regular Ritz. So he saved the night, and we spread peanut butter on the crackers and then chilled them for a little bit. In the meantime, you just take your chocolate morsels and heat them up over boiling water. I just use a glass bowl, Pyrex bowl, over my little pan of hot water, and just keep mixing, and they'll just melt nicely and smooth. And then I just use chopsticks and put the crackers in that mixture, and then pull them out, and then put them on parchment to harden. And on a few, I sprinkled on just a little bit of sea salt. Maybe half of them had sea salt and half of them didn't. And then I set them out on the porch, the covered porch, for a few minutes just to harden up nice and quick. And I brought one for lunch today to have with lunch. They were so good. Buttery, chocolatey, peanut butter. They're so easy to make. So easy to make, and the kids can help because everyone's eating peanut butter and crackers and spreading the peanut butter. It's very, very fun and easy to make. So I suggest doing that if you want to make something extra at home, or the kids are going somewhere and you want to send them with something fun. That's a great one. Also, last night we made chocolate peppermint bark. I had white chocolate, and I had a lot of dark chocolate. So I thought, let's make some chocolate peppermint bark. I bought 13 big candy canes. and crushed all of them up. And then I used 2 bags of white chocolate and 2 bags of dark chocolate. And with the white chocolate, I mixed in 2 teaspoons of coconut oil for each bag, so 4 teaspoons. That wonderful coconut flavor. And then I added also with the white chocolate just a few drops of peppermint extract. And laid the parchment down on my cookie sheet and spread the dark chocolate down first. And then I let that harden. And then the white chocolate over the top. And then sprinkled on the candy canes. I love that peppermint bark, and I love it when people have given it to me as a little gift before. But it was fun to make our own, and so we'll give some of that away this year too, which will be fun. Let's see, another thing I made this weekend was a team thing. I've been wanting to cure my own bacon, so I've been doing that. I've had a pork belly, a couple of them actually, in the fridge for about 10 days. I started one, and then I have still another one. I just cured the pork belly with some salt, some brown sugar, and spices. And you can come up with whatever spice you want to, but you need, for one pork belly, about 1/4 cup of salt. And then go from there. If you look on the internet, you can find all sorts of different recipes. I wanted mine a little spicy, so I used quite a lot of spice to it, and some garlic, and of course paprika, and some cayenne, and others, and just made a nice rub, rubbed it all over the bacon, or the pork belly, and put it into a Ziploc bag, and let that cure in the refrigerator for about 10 days. Actually, the first one cured for about 12 days, and just flip it every day. If you take a Sharpie and write on the bag the date that you're taking it out, that's a good way to do it. And then just rinse off all of it, all of the rub. You're going to get a nice, you're going to get a lot of liquid that's in the bag as the bacon cures. And then just rinse that off under the sink and dry it with a paper towel or a towel. And then I let it sit in the refrigerator uncovered for like 48 hours to kind of dry the meat out. It has a nice, puts kind of like a crust on the outside of the pork belly. And then from there, Rodney yesterday used the grill and he smoked the pork belly with some alder wood for about 1.5 hours at about 170 degrees and until the pork belly was about 150 degrees. And I sliced off a little sliver last night and it made the best bacon. So I'm really excited about that. I have another one in the fridge. We're taking that out tonight. We're going to dry that one off. So I'm going to be experimenting a little bit more with that. So very happy about that. We have the Anderson house cured bacon going on at our house. So coming up next, I've got some more ideas for quick and easy picks for food gifts that, if you're stressed out for the holidays and you need something quick and easy and delicious and inexpensive, that's coming up next. I've got some ideas.
Thank you.
Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. Gave me a diamond ring for Christmas.
And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. Today we're talking about some quick and easy and, for the most part, inexpensive picks for food gifts. And some of these are just items that you can make. Other ones are like gift baskets that you can pull together and make something too. These can be for people who love food and people, well, everyone likes food, but you know, some people experiment a little more than others. But all of these are gifts that would work for anyone. In case you didn't get a chance to start infused vinegar a month ago, or flavored vodkas 6 weeks ago, or something like that, and you need to get going on something the next few nights if you've got some time, or a hostess gift of some sort if you're invited to a party, then here are some great ideas. As I mentioned earlier, chocolate bark, so easy to make. You know, with white bark, you just use white chocolate. It's on sale right now. And heat it up over the stove. You can also do it in the microwave. And then add a little bit of coconut oil to that. And you can use vegetable oil too, or, you know, like a Crisco or something. But coconut oil sure is delicious with white chocolate. Ideas, lots of bark, you can make just about anything. Put anything on the chocolate and it's going to be delicious. You can just use dark chocolate and put some white chocolate over the top, or you can put candy on the chocolate. You can make like campfire bark, and you could put on some little marshmallows and maybe some chopped up graham crackers, and that would be good. You can make macaroon bark by toasting up some coconut and sprinkling that on some chocolate. That would be good, really good. You could take some dried fruit and just make a dried fruit bark. Or I like salt. I really like salt on some barks. But, you know, a lot of snacks have the saltiness to it, so you can even make like a snack bark. So some of those snacks with like pretzels and things like that, you can chop that up and sprinkle that on bark. You can make chopped up cookies also and make like a cookie bark. You could make turtle bark by using some caramel and some nuts, and of course candy cane bark. I made that one last night. There's all sorts of things you can do. It's easy. It takes 5 minutes to melt the chocolate. And then whatever you have to chop, maybe you don't even need to chop, you're just going to sprinkle on some candies or nuts. And then you just spread it out over parchment, and there you have it. And then you can immediately, if you stick it outside or in their freezer and let it harden quickly, before you know it, you can break it up and put it in some little bags with a ribbon around it, or in a little tin or something, and you've got a quick gift that you didn't have to bake. And you might think, by the time you buy this and buy that and whatever, it's expensive, but it does make quite a bit. So you're getting a lot out of it. You're getting way more than if you're going to buy that from the store pre-made. So I think that's a great idea. Another thing that you can make as a quick gift, a lot of people like iced tea. And many people in the wintertime want to have some nice drinks, and they don't want the alcohol. or they just want something they could drink at work for lunch. How about some winter orange pomegranate iced tea? This could have been the drink of the week this week, but I picked something else. You can make this in advance and put it in some decorative bottles. It only takes about 10 minutes to prepare. So this is a nice little thing that doesn't take much. 3 cups of water, a navel orange sliced into quarter-inch slices, 3 inches of a cinnamon stick broken, 6 whole cloves, 4 orange-flavored or black tea bags. You can use decaffeinated if you want. 1 cup of orange juice, 1 cup of pomegranate juice, 2 to 3 tablespoons of sugar. You could use honey. 12 orange wedges or chunks, 6 lime wedges or chunks, and some 6 6-inch wooden skewers, also some ice cubes. In a medium saucepan, you combine the water, the orange slices, the cinnamon, and the cloves. Bring to a boil, remove from heat, add your tea bags, and let stand covered for 5 minutes. Remove the tea bags, discard. Strain the tea mixture through a mesh strainer and discard the orange slices and spices. And in a glass pitcher, combine the strained tea mixture, some orange juice, pomegranate juice, and sugar. Stir it to dissolve. Cover and chill for about 4 hours or up to 24 hours. And to serve this, you place 2 orange wedges and 1 lime wedge in onto a skewer and serve the tea in glasses filled with ice cubes and add fruit skewers to each glass. So if you're going to give it as a gift, you're just going to put it in a nice big bottle. It could be a used wine bottle or something with a cork. And you can tie a ribbon around it and put directions on how to pull it together with some fresh fruit. And probably the person who gets that iced tea would drink it this weekend, maybe even when they have friends stop by. It would be easier for them to not have to make something too. So that's a nice gift for somebody who likes tea. Another gift, which people love, is, of course, granola. If you've never made granola, it's not hard to make, and it's pretty inexpensive. A lot of these things you might have at home already. You know, the nice thing about granola is you can put whatever you want in it. Just a basic granola recipe. It's 2 cups of regular rolled oats, 1/2 cup of chopped pecans or slivered almonds, 1/3 cup of packed brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, a little bit of spice like allspice or nutmeg, some little salt, 1/4 cup of butter, and 2 tablespoons of honey. Also a half a cup of dried fruit like raisins, currants, red cherries, blueberries, cranberries, you know, little snips of apricots or apples. But you're going to lightly grease a baking pan, or you can use parchment. And in a large bowl, combine the oats, pecans, brown sugar, cinnamon, allspice, and the salt. And then in a small saucepan, you're going to heat the butter and honey until the butter melts and drizzle that over the oats and toss it to coat. Spread that into your prepared pan and bake at 300 for 15 to 20 minutes until light brown. Stir it after 10 minutes just to move it around a little bit. Remove it from the oven and then stir in dried fruit. Then you can spread the granola out to cool, store it at room temperature. You can store it up in an airtight container for 5 days. You can also put it in freezer bags and freeze it. You can give it as a gift. So there's a lot that you can do with granola. It makes a nice, quick gift. And if you wanted to, you could make the granola and then you could put it into a box, you know, in a nice bag. And then with that, you could add maybe some new cereal bowls. And that would be great. There's other things that you can, some napkins, maybe some cereal bowls, maybe a little pitcher that someone could put some milk in. So that's a quick idea. You want the granola, but you don't think it's enough. You can add, kind of come up with an idea that's surrounding the whole granola breakfast thing. Somebody gave me some roasted nuts for Christmas, and we've been munching on them at my house already, and it's such a great gift. Nuts are generally expensive. You can get them bulk in larger bags, and it seems like a lot to spend at once on a big bag of nuts, but when you're giving them away in little jars and little bags, they really do go a long way, and I certainly appreciate getting something like roasted nuts because it's just not something you have time to do all the time, but it really doesn't take that much time to make a bunch and give it away. Honey roasted nuts. This makes a couple large jars or maybe four medium type jars and several more smaller jars. You need unsalted butter, about 50 grams of unsalted butter, a couple tablespoons of honey, a couple teaspoons of sweet smoked paprika. You also need some mixed unsalted nuts like cashews, pecans, peanuts. You could use macadamias, almonds, hazelnuts, walnuts, Brazil nuts, whatever you want. Also, a couple teaspoons of sea salt. Preheat your oven to 350. Place in a medium pan on medium heat. Add your butter and honey and cook for 3 to 4 minutes until the butter's melted. Roughly chop some of the larger nuts in half if you need to, if you're using like Brazil nuts or something. Otherwise, you don't even have to chop them. Put all the nuts on two large roasting trays and divide the melted butter and honey between the two. Scatter over the paprika, toss all the and coat all the nuts, and cook for 20 to 30 minutes or until golden all over. And carefully shake the tray every 10 to 15 minutes to make sure they cook evenly. So that doesn't take very long. It only takes like maybe from beginning to end 45 minutes to make this batch of nuts that you can bag up and make some quick treats. Oh, here's another one, and you might have seen this. You probably have seen this all over the internet before, and maybe you've made them, but these are so great, and I just love these. Especially if you have some cool wooden spoons or something like that, but you really don't need to. A plain plastic spoon will work. Maybe you have, the compostable type of spoons. Either way, you want something that's disposable. But the Coffee House chocolate spoons, it's so easy to just melt the chocolate. These are chocolate dip spoons, and you stir them into your coffee or hot chocolate. So you need 6 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate and in pieces. And then you need 20 to 24 plastic spoons. And you also need some white chocolate if you want to do like a little drizzle of white chocolate over the dark. You can also take the white chocolate and add some coloring if you want to, make it red or green, but the white is just perfect. And what I like about just using the spoons and coating the spoons, it's not a big hunk of chocolate that's going to take a while to melt. This is just a coated spoon with chocolate. So you heat the semi-sweet chocolate pieces on low heat over your saucepan, and I would just go ahead and do it in your Pyrex bowl and stir it until smooth. Dip half of the spoons into chocolate and remove the excess chocolate by tapping it, and then place the spoons on wax paper and refrigerate for 30 minutes to allow the chocolate to set up. And then in your saucepan again, or in your bowl, you're going to heat the white chocolate over low heat, and I would add some coconut oil to that and let it smooth out nicely. And then remove from heat. Dip the remaining spoons into the white chocolate and then refrigerate for 30 minutes to set up. And then place the remaining white chocolate into a little self-sealing plastic bag. And then you can just cut the corner out with scissors and make a little opening and then drizzle the chocolate-coated spoons with the white chocolate. There you have it. And you can take the other chocolate, the dark chocolate, and drizzle it over the white chocolate. And put those back in the refrigerator. You can wrap each spoon separately and store in a cool, dry place for 2 to 3 weeks. And so if you're going to give them to somebody, you can get a nice mug and put a couple of those wrapped up spoons in the mug and give that as a nice little gift. Perfect. And you can use that in your coffee. You can use that in some hot milk and just make a quick hot chocolate that way. I think it's great. But having a little teacup or saucer or a coffee mug, that's a great quick idea, especially for maybe piano teachers, dance teachers, and Sunday school teachers. That's a fun gift. Here's another fun one that I love this idea. What you need is a plain mug, and maybe you even have some of these sitting around that you've gotten as a gift and you've never used them, but you just need a nice big plain mug that you can microwave. And these are the brownies in a mug, and I've given you this recipe a couple times on What's for Dinner, but to take the mug and actually use a Sharpie and write the recipe down on the mug so that when the recipient of the mug pulls the mug out of the cupboard, there is the recipe right there and it's easy for them to make it. But you're going to send them with their first batch of this brownie in a mug and then have the recipe on the side. So want to make sure it's a microwavable mug. Make sure they have a microwave too. I mean, some people never use microwaves and other people use them a lot. Here's the ingredients. This is one that does not use egg. 1/4 cup of flour, 1/4 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of cocoa, a pinch of salt, a tiny pinch of cinnamon, 1/4 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of canola oil or vegetable oil, 1 to 2 drops of vanilla extract, a small scoop of ice cream if you want that for the end. Place the flour, sugar, cocoa, salt, and cinnamon in your microwave-safe mug. Stir with a fork or spoon to mix. Add the oil, water, and vanilla to the cup and stir it some more. Put it in the microwave and heat it on high until the mixture is cooked through. Should take about 1 minute and 40 seconds. And might have to experiment. It might take a couple of these brownie mugs to know exactly how long. But if it's not quite done in the middle, you're going to kind of have a molten cake, which would be good. And then you just scoop the ice cream on top. But you can write the recipe right down on the mug, and you can get all the dry ingredients together and put it into a little bag and stick it inside the mug. And all the recipient needs to do is just add the vanilla and the oil and the water. That's a fun gift. Okay, so here are some ideas for some kind of gift baskets that you could do. You can make a family sundae set. So you could make homemade toppings like caramel and chocolate, or hot fudge, caramel and hot fudge. And you can put those homemade toppings in a jar, a couple jars. And then also in the box or in the basket, you can throw in some candies, that they might want to put on the sundaes. Or you can also put in some sundae spoons, also cups or glasses, some ice cream cones, an ice cream scoop, a new ice cream scoop, and there you have it. So that's like a family sundae set that you could give someone. Another idea is grilling gear. You could make some homemade ketchup. And do I have a homemade ketchup recipe? Thought I might have put one in here today, but I didn't. It doesn't take very long to make homemade ketchup. I didn't put one in here, but I did put a caramel and hot fudge recipe in here. Really quick, I'm going to go back because I want to give you this caramel recipe. It's easy. You need 3/4 cup of heavy whipping cream and 1/2 cup of granulated sugar. Also, a couple tablespoons of water and a teaspoon of honey. 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Bring the cream to a boil in a saucepan. Cook the sugar, water, and honey in a 3-quart heavy-duty saucepan over high heat until the mixture comes to a boil. Brush around the inside of the pan with a damp pastry brush. And you don't want the sugar to crystallize. Cook the mixture over high heat without stirring until it turns amber colored, about 6 to 8 minutes. Lower the heat to medium and slowly add the hot cream to the sugar mixture and stir it constantly. The cream's going to bubble and foam. Continue to stir until there's no lumps. Remove it from the saucepan. Stir in the butter until it's completely melted. Then stir in the vanilla at the end. And there you have it. You have a nice caramel sauce. You can put this in a refrigerator and store it up to 2 weeks and rewarm it in a microwave oven or on a double boiler. It doesn't take much to make caramel sauce. You need to go to the store and get the cream, and you probably have sugar at home. You may or may not have honey, and then you probably have butter. But you can make a whole bunch of this caramel sauce and put it in jars and give it away as a gift. And you can make the hot fudge sauce, which is also not difficult. You need 6 ounces of good quality semi-sweet or bittersweet chocolate. You can use good quality semi-sweet chocolate chips too. 1/4 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 pinch of sea salt, and 1/2 cup of 1/2 and 1/2. Put all the ingredients except the 1/2 and 1/2 into a blender container. Measure 1/2 and 1/2 into a medium-sized microwave bowl or measuring cup. Heat it in the microwave on high, just until it's boiling, or you can heat it on the stove too. Pour over the contents into the blender and cover. And blend it all together until it's nice and smooth and thick. And there you have it. You can add a little bit more 1/2 and 1/2 if you need to, if it's too thick. That is so easy to make a really, really good hot fudge sauce. And you can put that in a jar and put all of that in a box together. And there you have sundaes for a family. Let's get back to the grilling gear, like a homemade ketchup. Or how about a homemade dry rub with like a new baster, some skewers, maybe some cedar planks, maybe you know this person just needs a grilling basket too. And you can put all of that inside the grilling basket. And making a spice rub is not hard too. And you can make a bunch of it and put it in containers and give it away as gifts. Especially when you can buy the larger quantity from the Costco section. Lots of dry rub mixes. I have lots of recipes for dry rub mixes. This is one that's really good for chicken and pork and beef. It's good on the grill. It's good in the slow cooker. Pulled pork. It's a basic 14 spice dry rub mix. And you really don't need, it's a quarter cup or a half a cup, but this makes a ton, and you can put this into jars. A half a cup of dark brown sugar, a quarter cup of seasoned salt, quarter cup of paprika, sweet paprika, and a quarter cup of smoked paprika, a tablespoon of garlic powder, 2 teaspoons of onion powder, a tablespoon of celery salt, 2 tablespoons of chili powder, 2 tablespoons of black pepper, a tablespoon of rubbed dried sage, teaspoon of ground allspice and cumin, a quarter teaspoon of cayenne, quarter teaspoon of ground mace, and 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves. Combine all the ingredients in a food processor. You can take the sugar and put it out on a baking sheet for a couple hours. Do that ahead of time so it can dry out. And then it won't clump. Combine all the ingredients in a food processor and pulse it until well mixed. And that's it. Store it in an airtight container. And to use it, you just sprinkle it all over your meat, chicken, pork, rub it in. It's good if you can wrap the meat up then and let it sit in the fridge for an hour or half of a day. Just enhances the flavor. You can make a spicier blend using hot chili powder. You can make it sweeter by adding more sugar. You can make it smokier by just using all smoked paprika instead of the sweet. So make a dry rub and grab some grilling gear together, put it all together, and make a nice basket for someone. You can make a popcorn bowl. Just get a nice big bowl, a nice beauty that's perfect for popcorn and passing around, and put some popcorn in it, popcorn kernels, some new napkins, maybe some salts, and or some DIY toppings, do-it-yourself toppings. I found this one on the internet, and I thought, this one is from wholenewmom.com. And this is for Dorito-flavored popcorn. It's dairy-free. And I searched this so that you had, like, a DIY popcorn topping. You might not eat Doritos. Most of us don't eat a ton of Doritos, but I like to have them every now and then. Especially, they're good. Here is a recipe that has that Dorito flavor that you can put on popcorn. And you can make a batch of this and put this in with the popcorn gift box. Half a cup of unpopped popcorn kernels. Well, we don't need the popcorn kernels in the recipe, but here we go. It's a quarter cup of nutritional yeast. 1 teaspoon of garlic powder or granules, 1 teaspoon of onion powder, 1 teaspoon of cumin, 1 teaspoon of paprika, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1/8 or 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and 2 teaspoons of salt. Combine that all together, and that's your Dorito or taco popcorn topping. I like the nutritional yeast on popcorn. It gives it a great flavor. I asked Tamron Wecon to get some in town, and I'm not sure if they have any here or not. But you can omit that, too. But it is really good on popcorn. You can't just use baking yeast. It's a different yeast. Okay. We have a couple more here. A cupcake baking kit. Pretty little baking cups. You can get different ones here in town. Stop at different places in town and they'll have different ones and you can kind of collect them. Grab some sprinkles, maybe a little book of recipes. Stop at the bookstore. Get a maybe squeezable icing bottles, a couple of those, a frosting spatula, and put it into like a cute little box or a lunch box, and line it all up. And that would be fun, cupcake baking kit. You can also do like a huge cookie jar. I know I've seen some really nice glass jars with lids here in town. And in that, you can put some oven mitts, a dough scoop, some candies, cookie cutters, gel coloring, maybe some parchment. Maybe you don't want the cookie jar. Maybe you just put all of that on a cookie sheet and wrap it up in plastic or something. But that would be a fun gift to throw together, too. Lots of little items in one bunch. And then another one that I love would be a breakfast kit. You can get a cast iron skillet. You can fill it with different things, or you can actually make a cornbread in it. So you're serving it with cornbread in the skillet. You can put in maybe some homemade orange marmalade or something like that. That goes well with breakfast. Or how about some homemade honey butter? And it's easy to make honey butter. It's just butter and honey whipped together. And then you put it in the fridge and let it set. So you can roll it up into some parchment or wax paper, and you have honey butter. And that would be a super great gift. And then they can keep the cast iron skillet. Oh, and here I had one more. Maybe a martini kit or a drink kit of some sort, which would include like a vodka, throw in some bitters, some olives, a shaker, maybe a lemon. So you can make like a kit that way too. And speaking of butters, all sorts of flavored butters. You could do a butter, flavored butter gift bag or box for somebody, and you could put in three or four different flavored butters. Fig butter, which would use fig preserves and butter. A quarter cup of figs, butter, and a half a cup of butter. Cranberry butter would use a third of a cup of fresh cranberries, a quarter cup of maple syrup, half a cup of butter, and a tablespoon of orange zest, garlic and herb butter, 2 cloves of garlic, 2 tablespoons of fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons of fresh chives, 1 tablespoon of fresh lemon juice, and a half a cup of butter. And you can, of course, multiply these. Roasted red pepper butter. Oh, my favorite. Quarter cup of chopped roasted red pepper. Drain off the liquid. And then 2 green onions, chopped. 1/8 teaspoon of salt and 1/2 cup of butter. You just combine all the ingredients in a food processor. You don't have to melt the butter, but just put it all in a food processor and pulse it. Place it onto a piece of wax paper, form it into a log, and then wrap it in wax paper, twist the ends, and refrigerate. And then you can put little bows at the end of each twist, and there you have it. The gift of butters. Most people would really like that. And those are my quick and easy picks. Hopefully it's given you some ideas. You're like, okay, that's exactly what that person might want for Christmas. And I hope I've helped you out there. I'm going to actually make a couple of these myself yet. I know, ding dong, I'm running out of time, but it's going to happen. And coming up next, the drink of the week here on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, offering an expanded... Oh, that's not them. Here we go. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink, hosting a Yule Bucking Party Wednesday evening starting at 9 p.m. with Christmas Carol Karaoke, tacky attire, appetizers, and more. Happy holidays from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store. Is coming to town. But he sees you when you're
you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I have the drink of the week. And this week it is homemade apple ginger kombucha. Looking for a drink that doesn't have any alcohol in it. And, you know, because it's fermented, it has a little, but still has a nice zing to it. And so I thought that apple ginger kombucha would be the perfect thing, because I didn't want something like sparkling cider. Wanted something that has that fermented taste to it. So if you're somebody who makes homemade kombucha at home, when you do that second fermentation, what you're going to do is add some fresh ginger, peeled and finely grated, and a couple tablespoons of that, 1 cup of apple juice, a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 8 dried apple rings. So about 1 apple ring per bottle. This is going to make about 8 bottles of ginger apple kombucha. And so, in a large sterilized pitcher, combine the plain kombucha, grated ginger, apple juice, and cinnamon, and mix to combine. Sterilize 8 flip cap or screw top glass bottles, running them through the dishwasher or very, very hot water. Sometimes you can put those in a hot oven too. And rip or chop up the dried apples and place 1 ring's worth in each bottle. Pour the kombucha from the pitcher into the bottles, leaving room at the top. And you need to leave that room at the top because there's going to be gases that form during that second fermentation. Seal the bottles and place them in a warm, dark room for 2 to 3 days to let the kombucha go through the secondary fermentation. And then you put the bottles in the refrigerator, which stops that fermentation. Well, not as much, but it continues in a little bit, but it slows down. When ready to drink, you carefully open up the bottles, and there you have it. And, you know, usually one of those little small SCOBYs will form during that second fermentation. So if you want to, you can strain that out prior to drinking. But a lot of people don't mind that. But that's a really good apple ginger kombucha recipe. We're going to try that at my house, because we want something that kind of tastes like hard cider but isn't. And we're going to give that a try. If you're somebody who's never made kombucha, there's lots of people in town who have the SCOBYs that you can get one from. And it's not hard to make. You just need to make sure that you keep everything nice and clean while you're fermenting kombucha. And you can find a lot about kombucha online on the internet. It takes just boiling water and some sugar and some tea. And that's pretty much it, besides a big glass jar. Also, you need cheesecloth to put over the top with a rubber band. You need a long-handled spoon for stirring. Most of these things you have at home, and you can make kombucha. You just boil your water. If you're making a gallon of kombucha, you can boil the whole gallon, or you can just boil a half of gallon. Once the water's reached boiling, remove it from the heat. You add tea bags. And that would be 10 black tea bags or green tea. I think black tea works great. Steep that for about 15 minutes. Remove the tea bags. Add your sugar, which is a cup of... We use organic cane sugar at our house. And let the tea cool. And then add the SCOBY to it and let that ferment for about 10 days. And then you can move on to that second fermentation, like I just mentioned, adding in the apple juice and that. And that's the drink of the week. And that's it for What's for Dinner. I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you have a fun baking and a fun time with your friends and family. And don't forget, on Wednesday from 1 to 3 here at KFSK, it's our holiday open house, and we have kids coming in tomorrow to help decorate some cookies. So stop by. and say hi to the staff here at KFSK. We'd be glad to see you so we can wish you a Merry Christmas. Thanks for all of your support to KFSK throughout the year. Thank you.